That's just funny every time. How are you doing today? Any of you looking forward to the Seahawks game? All right. Yeah, that's how I felt Friday night with the Huskies. Look how that turned. No, just kidding. I think it'll turn out pretty well. And I hope that if you've been with us the last couple weeks, that you really have thought about what it means to go forward in your faith with Jesus Christ. And we've talked about how as a church, we're moving forward, but we don't move forward as a church. It happens as each of us individually respond to Jesus Christ and the call that he has on our life. And here's what we say, no matter where you are, that God has a next right step for you. And we've looked at the process of transformation, how we can participate that in that God initiates that. And now we're going to look at participation the next couple weeks, how we respond to God in a way that's really meaningful. In fact, let's look at 2 Corinthians 9:8. If you'll take your outline out of your program, or you can download them if you're watching online. It says, God is able to bless you abundantly. How many of you like that? Isn't that great? That God can, how many of you like to be blessed or when you receive a blessing? Yeah, how many of you are committed to misery? Just want to know. You're at the wrong church. So I received a blessing this last week. It was great. I was out for a meal with a friend, and as I walked in, I saw some people from church. It was sort of on me to buy the meal, but when it came time to pay, the server said, "Don't worry about it. It was taken care of for you." And I felt closer to Jesus in that moment. I just got to let you know that. And that was great to receive that blessing. But here's the deal. You don't manipulate a blessing. Sometimes we do this with people, or sometimes we do this with God. Like, for example, if I had walked into the restaurant, saw the people from church and said, "You know, I'm glad I finally get to go out to eat. It's been a long time. I could barely afford this 32-ounce steak at Ruth Chris Steakhouse." And I just want to see if you're going to judge me or not for that one. It was actually the Sammamish Cafe. But as I was there, it was just great to receive that blessing. And here's what we read. It says, "Why am I blessed? So that in all things, at all times, having all you need." Do you see a pattern there? All. "You will abound in every good work." See, God is able to bless you abundantly when? At all times, with what? Everything you need. He's able. See, he anticipated our excuses, our procrastinations, our experiences, and he said, "I've got you covered." Well, okay, as we consider that, what does God entrust us with? There are three primary things that we find in Scripture. One is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here's what the gospel is. It means literally the good news. And in fact, if someone's telling you about Jesus and it's not good news, it's not the gospel. It's the good news that God is for us, not against us, that we don't have to worry about eternity. We don't have to pay for our own sins. We don't have to get caught in some karmic cycle where we finally get it right, but that God has finished the work. He has done what he needed to do. He created us and loved us, taught us how to live, and when we failed, he's given us his one and only son, Jesus Christ, that we can be forgiven and freed through him, that we don't need to carry guilt or shame. If you say, "I know Jesus and I'm carrying guilt or shame," you need to know Jesus better, because God never wants you to live that way. And he said, it's in 2 Corinthians, where we're spending most of our time, actually chapter 8 and 9, most of our time there, it says, it's as if he was making his appeal through us. You know what God's plan is to share his message? Look around you. You. Does that frighten you a little bit? Yeah, but you know, here's the thing. Some of you, you're afraid to share your faith. And I know why. I'm not saying, be weird for Jesus, I know people like, I'm just a spaz for Jesus. It's like, hey, you were a spaz long before you met Jesus. I'm just saying that what we're doing is just saying God has worked in my life. Don't let any sin disqualify you. In fact, it may be because of that people say, so God can work in your life too. And then what else does he entrust to us? Gifts and abilities. Now, that's what I'm going to look at primarily next week. Everyone has been given a gift and an ability. We all have different gifts and abilities, experiences, personalities, passions, and God uses all of those. One of the things I love about our church is how much we not only serve in the body. By the way, it's important to serve here, but also out in our community. The funny thing is, if you're not part of a growth group, you only hear part of it. Literally, hundreds of people serve every month in ways that you will never hear on Sunday morning because of it's in growth groups, like the Tent City, the homeless people in Redmond that are up at the Catholic Church. So dozens and dozens of people from Timberlake have been serving there. Acres of Diamonds, which is now under Timberlake Church. You know how that happened? Is dozens and dozens of people were already serving there. In the Issaquah campus, where there's people serving, the YWCA, people who are in housing, and some of them need special assistance, throwing parties for them. Duval campus, now starting Christmas Eve, God willing. You know, it's sort of funny. I announced that by faith, and we'll see. We'll have a service there. I'm just not sure what it's going to look like. Anyway, the Duval, I mean, there are people tearing out walls for Jesus. And see, sometimes we think, I'm not spiritual enough. When you use your gifts and abilities for God's purposes, you are glorifying God. And God loves that. And then the third thing he entrusts to us are finances and resources. And that's what I want to talk about today. And you know, I am excited to talk about this because I think it's, you know, some people are like, oh gosh, is that a hard subject? Not at all. Not at all. And it's not just because of my Jewish background. It is the burden of my people to teach you Gentiles about money. I know that. Read the Bible, you know, talks a lot about us here, you know. As we consider that, because so many of you have gotten like guilt trips about money, about especially giving and generosity. It's what God wants for you, not from you. And some of you are going to find freedom and joy in a way. And God's going to rock your world today. And I think that's so good because you're going to get to set aside some things that have been painful. Some of you have been beat up in church and you have been manipulated over money. Any of you ever had someone else manipulate you over money? Yeah. You haven't. Well, maybe I should try then today. No, it's one of those things that we have this happen, and it can be painful. Or maybe you've been where the pastor yells at you. I won't call anyone out, but I know a pastor who yells and screams at his congregation because they don't give enough. That's not very effective. And even if it is, I don't think it's helpful. Or the idea is that we give to get. No, we don't manipulate God that way. There's a posture that I want to teach us to have because God wants us to live a life that is generous before him. The word believe is used 272 times in the Bible. Pretty important word, right? Pray 371 times. Love 714 times. Give is used 2,161 times. If there is the subject of the Bible is God, the object of that sentence is us, and the verb would have to be give. And in fact, the people who've never been to church, but they only go to football games, they still know a Bible verse, don't they? John 3:16. There's always someone there who, you know, paints it on their chest or something like that. And for God so loved the world that he what? He gave. God gave. And is it finance? Yeah, finances are important, by the way. If you don't think so, why do we talk about them so much? But it's way deeper than that. And what he did is he gave his own son that we would have life and have it abundantly. I know it's an emotional trigger for some of you, and like I said, I rarely get anything negative when I teach on this subject, because really what I do is I teach, and then you're responsible for what you do. I don't have any fear, because it's a discipleship issue. This is how we grow in our faith. I don't have fear when it comes to money personally. I want to operate in faith. Even when I don't have a lot. The only thing I'm afraid of in life is that, like, in one of those boy bands, One Direction or Justin Bieber, is going to release another album. My daughters are going to make me listen to it for an hour every day in the car. That I'm afraid of. But I do it because I'm a good dad. I do that. Well, as we look at this, 2 Corinthians, I digress, don't I, a little bit. But 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 is a chapters where it talks about the idea of a generous life. And in that, I've never taught on that, but it's often taught on. The Apostle Paul was speaking to a church in what's now modern-day Turkey. It used to be called Asia Minor. He loved the churches that he planted, but he also loved the mother church in Jerusalem. And he took, over and above their normal giving, he was taking a special offering. These are people who already tithed and all of that. And he writes this about the special offering for them. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each one of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. He's saying what you do is matters, and it's a reflection of the generosity of God. So how do we live this out? Let's look at the scripture. It's that, number one, we give in response. We give in response. It says, you will be enriched in every way. So God enriches us. Not many of us feel rich, do we? Last time I felt rich, I was a busboy at La Palma Restaurant in Tacoma, Washington. I was making like $2.50 an hour plus tips. I didn't have any responsibilities, so I felt rich. Median income, household income for a whole household in America is $50,068 a year, which would put you in the top 5% of the world. In King County, it's one of the highest in the country, $67,900 a year. But even if you say I'm in the top half, well above that, we often don't feel rich. It's a matter of perspective. But so why does God give us so much? So that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. So we give in response. A buddy of mine who was in a growth group was unemployed for a while, and we do every once in a while this 90-day tithe challenge. I'm going to do it again today. We do it once or twice a year. Just saying, hey, trust God in this, and just take the step of faith. Well, he was unemployed, and he said, I'm going to go ahead and do the 90-day tithe challenge, because I'll give God 10% of zero, and that seems like that'll work out okay. And he'd been unemployed for a long time. And then, guess what happened? Miraculously, he got a very good, high-paying job. And he said, wow, this is going to be hard to give 10% of this. I said, well, ask God. He could go back to the other, I'm pretty sure. It's sort of interesting. Someone asked John Rockefeller, who, of course, super rich, but loved God with all his heart. And they said, well, was that hard? He said, it wasn't hard to tithe on the first million or when I was making $1.50 a week. So it's just a pattern. So we give in response. God gives, and then we respond to that. By the way, that's how we operate as a church. And I say this with huge confidence. If you can't trust your church, go find another church, because you should give where you're supposed to give first at whatever church you go to. It needs to be above board. Use money wisely for God's kingdom purposes. And what we do is what you give during the year, we take that, and that's the budget for next year. Now, we know we're growing, and so with that, hopefully we'll take in a little bit more money. But that's why we only do one special offering ever a year, because otherwise it becomes a burden. And what I don't want to teach you is how to emotionally respond. I want to teach you this: how to grow in your faith, be obedient, and a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so that's what we do, is we respond to what you do. And number two, give willingly. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable. Basically, he's saying don't be tight with your money, but don't be manipulated either. Again, like I said, I've been manipulated. My wife and I, it's not only money, because we've always, when we first got married, I'm a big believer in giving my first and best to God, but it's with the stuff we have too. We've taken in people into our home when we have had very little. I pastored a church in Santa Barbara and through an absolute miracle was able to get a home on the edge of the town. And we took someone in our home. This guy was saying, hey, I don't have a place to live. And we said, okay, God, you have not only our money, our home. And he was, you know, he had a pretty sad story. But then when I dug into his sad story and I was helping him with his finances, I found out that this guy was given free rent, room, and board, made 40% more than I did. And I was supporting my family and him. And so he was homeless again. And tough love, baby, tough love, you know. So in that, you don't be manipulated. And that really gets to number three. When it comes to generosity, give intentionally. If you never get anything else, if you say, man, I'm going to go to a new... Get this. Give intentionally. Notice what it says, 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. Will you underline that? Decided in your heart to give. It's a discipline. Growth in Christ is always a discipline, because otherwise you're going to be manipulated. Otherwise you're going to feel guilty. There's always more needs than you have money. And it's just saying, I have decided to do this. By the way, this works in any area of your life. If you're having problems in a relationship, decide you're going to give 100%. And now if they give 100%, it'll work out well, but you can be responsible for yours. And we make these decisions what we're going to do. Every person who takes a posture, who's thoughtful and disciplined, says, I'm going to take all that I have and put it before God, you're going to be blessed. So here's the real question. What is my plan? What is my plan? And I know some of you, this really is hard. Money is hard for you in general. In our Financial Peace University, we have every quarter we offer that. On our connection card, we don't have a fill-in for that. Write that down. And that's more about money management than even generosity. But you have to have a plan when it comes to money and generosity. So what is the plan? Put God first. That's what the Bible teaches. Now, it's interesting. Some of you say, well, doesn't the Bible teach a tithe? Yes, it does. But the most important part of that is to put God first. In the Old Testament, it's called first fruits. In fact, even before the law, where I decide that my first I give to God. Now, the problem with this, if you're anything like me when it comes to giving, it was your memory maybe doesn't work out that well and all of that. So I thank God that there's options. There's bill pay, you can do automatic debit, all of that kind of stuff. For my family, what we do is we've automated it because we know how much we're making every month. By the way, some of you think pastors get paid on commission. Like, oh, Ben and Terry really must need a vacation, so he's doing a giving talk today. No, that doesn't work that way. I know every month how much I'm going to make, and so with that, I give my first and best to the Lord, and then also we participate in building hope beyond that. And so second, choose a percent. Now, in the Bible, it teaches the tithe. And if you're here and you're not even a follower of Christ, this is going to just seem crazy to you, but really it's a blessing. It says give your first 10% to the Lord and of what you earn. And the reason I teach that is because it's the only thing really taught in Scripture. It's taught before the law, when Abraham gave to Melchizedek. It's taught in the law, but we're not under the law, so that one really doesn't count. But then Jesus upheld it in Matthew 23:23. So give your first 10% to the Lord. That's what it says. So you choose a percent. And what we do around here is a 90-day tithe challenge, where we say, hey, try it out for 90 days. And one of the commitments you can make on your connection card is the tithe challenge, that you would say, I'm going to go ahead and do that. You might say, well, what if I can't? What if it doesn't work out? Here's the deal. Malachi chapter 3, it says, test me in this, says the Lord. And if it doesn't work out, email the church bookkeeper and ask for your money back. And you're like, okay, that's just a gimmick. Actually, someone did it once. Only one person, if there's no spiritual benefit, do that. And you say, well, who was that? Let me give you their name. I don't know who they are. But I just thought, because you're like, oh, no. No, he didn't. That's what you're thinking. When it comes to that, that's really what I would say. If you're a Christian, and you've been a Christian for a while, that's really where you begin. It shouldn't be the end of your giving. And you begin at your local church. By the way, like I have a kid who goes to Christian school, and you say, well, that's my tithe. No, it isn't. That's your kid's education. Your tithe is what you give to where you worship. Now, for some of you, you might say, man, this is just so well beyond me. And so it's either tithe or nothing. No, just say I'm going to start doing something. Choose a percent. Maybe it'll be 3% or 5% or whatever, and do that percent. And we have on our connection card too, you can say, I'm going to become a regular giver. And we'll, by the way, it doesn't mean we're not going to check your W-2s or anything like that. We're going to just encourage you in that process. And then as you consider this, track your progress. Track your progress. So you want to be intentional about your resources. Say, how am I doing? It doesn't matter if I feel generous. Am I generous? You know how you do that? You look at, and by the way, this is very good to do before the end of the year. It's funny, a lot of people love Jesus and love to not pay taxes, so December is usually a good month. And so you do that, and you say, I'm going to give my very best to the Lord. So here's my suggestion for you, depending on where you're at. So if you're here and you say, I'm not a Christ follower yet, it's about what you receive more than what you give. You can give. We have people who aren't Christians yet who give. That's great. If you're a Christian and you say, I'm not there, then I encourage you to either take the tithe challenge or at least become a regular giver. And some of you are already generous givers. You tithe, you give your first 10% to the Lord. And then there's that, what I call kingdom builder. Now, last year, we're not going to do another Building Hope initiative, but we raised money for the new building here in Redmond. We're going to break ground the Monday after Easter Sunday. It looks like everything's going to work out on that. And God's going to clear space, and this is very, very good because it's coming at a perfect time for us. And as we do that, if you've made a commitment, keep it. Or some of you gave a one-time gift and you're able to give another one. That would be really helpful in that. Or some of you say, hey, I'm already a tither, but I wasn't here before, so I want to jump on board, and you can for the last 2 years of Building Hope. Again, we build what we bring in. We've determined, because otherwise churches would become all about money if they get in too much debt, and we will never do that. That is not what we do around here at Timberlake Church. And then maybe you say, okay, I want to do something with what we're called Project Duval. Our one special offering every year, this year it's December 8th, we're going to take it up through then, is Go Forward. Project Duval is two things. One, it's the Duval campus of Timberlake Church. Now, the good news there, you'd say, well, that must cost a lot of money. It does. And people already here have given $513,000 total we've gotten towards that project. We need about $160 more to complete the renovations. So that's pretty good news, isn't it? I'm glad where I'm not here saying, hey, we need to raise $700,000. No, we really don't. If you feel led to do that, do that. The other part of Project Duval is our partnership with Acres of Diamonds. We're making a financial commitment to them with some stuff they need. They need some resources, facility improvements, but also some operating capital. Their employees they need to be taken care of in a way that they're unable to do. And we feel a call to do that as well. So if you want to go that over and above, encourage you to do that. If you say, I'm not a regular giver, I would start there. Don't try to do everything at once, but just start someplace and you'll see God work in that.
So, in your connection card, by the way, here, there's a connection card. On the connection card, you have the options to sign up there, and then this is the go forward offering thing as well, so you can take a look at that. Well, here's a big transformation question. How does God get my heart? Because money is never a money issue, it's a spiritual issue. And in fact, when I came to Timberlake over 5 years ago, Timberlake had had a great history, it had run into some trouble, and someone said, we have a money issue. I said, no, we don't have a money issue, we have a spiritual issue. The spiritual issue is, does God have our heart? Because if God has our heart, and that begins, I'm going to talk about, with giving him our resources, see, it sort of goes all together. Number one, it's this. We need to see life through the lens of eternity. God has a message he wants to share with others. Every time I invest in eternity, I use my money to bring others to him. Your favorite service, you know what? Want to know what your favorite service is going to be here at Timberlake? The one you brought a friend to who was far from God, who came to know Jesus. I've seen people changed in that way. Every time you invest in eternity. And in fact, we had some people come in who were sort of sharing not only why they love their the church, but you're going to hear some of how your investment in eternity is making a difference. Take a look at this.
I love my church because I get to help lead a passionate generation of young people to experience the same Jesus that I know.
I love my church because the people here are amazing, and you can see that they really love God.
I love my church because this is a place where broken and hurting people can really experience God's love.
I love my church because of all the great relationships my family has gained.
I love my church because of the community we've built inside and outside of our walls.
I love my church because I get to serve here and be a part of something bigger than myself.
Because I get to be a part of something bigger than myself.
I love my church because we believe in investing in the next generation.
I love my church because the people really do care for one another.
I love my church because it feels like home.
I love my church because I feel like I belong.
Because everyone always has a smile on their face.
You know, the bottom line is I love my church. I love the people that we worship with. We made some great friends, and it's become our spiritual family.
I love my church because when I was at my very worst, they gave me their very best.
Because I get to see people come to know and experience Jesus Christ.
I love my church because this is where I dedicated my life to Jesus Christ.
Because this is where I committed my life to Jesus Christ.
Because this is where I committed my life to Jesus Christ.
And you know, when it comes down to it, that's, you know, we give out of obedience. That is important, and you should do that. But it's that investment in eternity. By the way, I think that's why, you know, there are people who come here every week, and they come here because they love to see lives change. They think the music is too loud, and they're saying, can you believe that? You know, they're distracted because they say the pastor's eye candy. get a big laugh out of that one every time. No, seriously. Some of you aren't going to be able to get over that one. Because of the investment in changed lives. Next week again, by the way, we've baptized more people than ever. I mean, we're baptizing so many people, not only decisions for Christ. You know, sort of interesting is people have come to Christ at Timberlake year after year, and the percentages, not only the numbers, are increasing every year. This year, more than ever. We have parents baptizing their kids next weekend. I mean, it's just amazing. Kids who have made a decision for Christ. What you do matters. Here's what it says in Matthew 6, 19 through 20. Do not store up yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. You know, it's sort of funny. One of the most mistaught concepts in the Bible is where it talks about rewards in heaven. Five times in the Bible it says you will be rewarded in heaven. And a lot of people are like, oh good, I'm going to get a lot of money in heaven. You don't need money in heaven. You know what your reward is going to be? People.
It's going to be people who say, I didn't believe that God could love me. But because you serve, you gave, that's my, see, that's going to be your reward. When you invest, for those of you who have already invested in Building Hope and the expansion here and all of that, and some of you to invest, when people say, I came to Christ when I was a teenager, it'll be 20 years from now. That's the reward. Well, second principle is generosity leads and your heart follows. And this is an odd one. It's a little counterintuitive. I heard Rick Warren, who I think is probably one of the greatest pastors in the last century in America, if not the world. He said, every time I feel distant from God, I give an offering. I want to give God, I want God to have my heart. Isn't that interesting? Well, where does he get that from? Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. But by the way, this works with family too. Some of you are going to be getting together with family members over the holidays, and you want to fix them. How about serving them? How about giving to them? See, when I serve, you know what I love my wife the most? Is when I'm serving her, when I'm saying, what can I do to make her life special? And it's interesting, my heart grows closer than when she's serving me, although I am not against that in the least bit. And some of you want a heart for Jesus, and you're not going to get it because you're not going to respond just how the Scripture says. No manipulate, but just how the Scripture says. Number three, experience God's love for yourself. If you have not experienced God's love, none of this will make sense. It really doesn't. I mean, it doesn't at all. 2 Corinthians 9:15, it says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Now that's not talking about even money there. That's talking about Jesus Christ dying on the cross, rising again, so we could have life. And it's saying, and we read this last week as we looked at love as the ultimate goal of transformation. 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. You know, a great example is given in the Bible, and there are four gospels, four accounts of Jesus' life, and they're from different perspectives. So sometimes they contain different accounts because they're some are speaking to Jews, some are Gentiles, some to religious, some to former religious people, some to the aristocracy, some to people who are just normal folks. But this one account is four times, all four Gospels include this. And in fact, Jesus said, he said this during his life. He said, wherever people talk about me, they're going to tell this story. And it's a story of a lady, and she was actually a lady many knew. She was a lady of the night. And she comes into this religious meal thing, which was always a big deal. And she comes in, and she has this perfume, it says, that was worth a year's wages. Like, let's see, $40,000 perfume. And somehow she knew, God told her that Jesus was going to be going to the cross, and he says that, and she takes this perfume and she pours it as an extravagant gift. And people, they criticize her, they ridicule her, they ridicule Jesus, and they say, this makes no sense whatsoever. And Jesus gives perspective, and he says this. He says, therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. He said the reason she's so generous is because she knows what has been done for her. And see, I think if you struggle in this area, here's what I can tell you I think the problem is you, if you're a Christian, you have forgotten. You have forgotten that Jesus has taken all your junk and brought his grace. And maybe it's just going too far from that. Jesus loves me that much. And in fact, you know, maybe you're here today, and before I go, you're going to get to hear a story of a couple in a moment. But before I go any further in this moment, I know there are some of you who you, the real thing is not what you're going to give, it's what you're going to receive today. And you have the opportunity to, just like that lady who everyone cast out, that you can receive Jesus and him in your life. And so what I want to do is just pray a quick prayer for those of you who are right there. God, I thank you for those of us who, Lord, this is about what we're going to receive today. And we're going to, if you're here and you say, you know, I want to have a relationship with God, and I want the forgiveness that's offered through Jesus, then I encourage you to pray with me. And you pray silently, I'll pray out loud so we won't embarrass you. But you'd say, God, I agree with what the scripture says, that not only you love me and created me, but that I've sinned and I've fallen short of who you've created me to be, and I need your forgiveness. And so I ask you for that, and I ask you, Jesus, to come into my life, to be the leader. And I decide today to follow you. And the scripture says when we have invited him in, that there's a transaction that takes place, and it's the most important transaction that will ever take place, that God, he takes our junk and our sin and our failures and our frailty, and he brings his grace. And this is not just in this moment, but that there's nothing you can do to separate you from the love of God, because he is persistent in that love for you. And that when we say yes to him, that we have a home in heaven. The Bible also says when we make this commitment, that we are to go public. And so I encourage you to do that, but to help you take that first step, here's how we do that, this at Timberlake, with everyone's eyes closed and head bowed, even up on stage. And if you say, you know, I prayed that prayer to accept Jesus Christ today, would you just let me be your public? Would you indicate that decision by just simply looking up at me? I'm going to look at my right and your left. And if you say, I prayed that prayer to accept Jesus, just look up at me as an indicator. Okay, that's great. Great. Anyone else on the right? Okay. And in the center section, you'd say, you know, I prayed that prayer. I responded and I said yes to Jesus. Just let your eyes, okay, I see it. That's great. That's okay. All right. Good decision. Danny, okay, I see you back there too. All right. Way to go. And over on my left, and you'd say, that was my decision. I prayed that prayer. I agreed with that. I've asked Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. Okay, that's great. Way to go. Way to go. God, I thank you that in this moment, even when we talk about responding to you, Lord, that it all begins with how you've come and you've met us. So, Lord Jesus, I thank you for my friends who have crossed the line of faith today. God, I thank you that this is a place where we can come and worship you. And God, that we can come as we are, but experience your grace in the process. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.